We live in a world full of distractions, don't we? Everywhere we go, we find that there are things that are trying to distract our attention. We literally carry around in our pockets or in our handbags little distraction devices that we call mobile phones. Did you know that the average person apparently spends 4 hours a day on their mobile phone? Some of you are like, I don't even turn it on for that long in the day. I get it. But if that's the average, that means some people use it for more than 4 hours every day. And that is an average that keeps on increasing year on year. We live in an age where we're bombarded with more information than ever before. And yet our ability to remain focused is reducing with each generation. Our ability to pay attention, our ability to focus, our ability not to be distracted by things like our phones, by social media, by advertising, whatever it might be, it is getting harder and harder. We've actually had a number of distractions already in our service today, haven't we? You might remember I got that message on my Apple Watch right near the beginning. You might have been distracted by the flashing lights at different points in the service, or the noise that the band very annoyingly keep making, or all these poignant moments in prayer. Maybe distracted by that random video that played when the kids were running around trying to find the Easter eggs. Well, let me just tell you, in case you think we're just inept or that our tech team and our band are rubbish, they were all planned. We scheduled them, we planned them. I can show you my order of service, which shows you exactly where they are. Because I wanted to make a point this morning. I wanted to make the point that even though we think we'd never be distracted, not me, that actually just the littlest things can take our focus away from the main thing. We stop listening, we stop looking, we stop focusing on the main thing. Now, don't get me wrong, not all distractions are bad. Some can be really good. You know, I remember taking our daughter to get her vaccinations, and the nurse was brilliant at distracting her while she was trying to give her those vaccines. In fact, for some of you, distractions seem to help you. There'll be some of you in this room, I've never understood it. When you're on the phone, you have a little pen and paper next to the phone so you can doodle. Why does anyone do that? My mum used to do that all the time. Doodle whilst on the phone to someone. Some distractions can be really good, but in most cases, distractions are bad. And at their worst, distractions could be dangerous. Hands up if you want your surgeon or your pilot to get distracted when they're doing their job. Nobody wants that because the result could be catastrophic. And then there's distractions that distract us from the truth, from reality, like a magician who performs a sleight of hand so we don't see what's really going on, or fake news all over social media. That's rife at the moment, isn't it? It distracts us from the truth and the reality of a given situation. There's all kinds of bad and negative distractions out there that try to grab our attention, and the consequences can be dangerous. They can lead us down a path of division, down a path of lies. But here's the thing. We may feel like we live in a culture and a society that is more distracted than ever before. But if we go back thousands of years by flicking through the story of the Bible, we actually see lots of instances where God's own people become distracted from the truth. If we jump back all the way to the beginning, the first book of the Bible, we read in Genesis that God created all things, including us, including humanity. But it didn't take long, did it, for Adam and Eve, the first humans, to become distracted by the fruit from the tree of good and evil, the one tree they weren't allowed to eat from. In fact, in that act of rebellion, they set in motion God's plan for salvation, which is the very thing we're gathering to celebrate today. And we thank God for offering us forgiveness through his son, inviting us back into relationship with him, a relationship that was broken because Adam and Eve were distracted in the garden. Sometime later, God's people find themselves in slavery in Egypt, and God raises up a leader called Moses who's going to lead them out of that slavery, take them to the land that God has promised them. And what happens? Well, God parts the Red Sea. They walk through it. They're celebrating. They give thanks to God. And then Moses goes up a mountain to meet with God, and he comes back down and finds the Israelites have started worshiping a golden calf statue, because they got distracted from their true and proper worship. Jump forward to the New Testament. God has become flesh. He's come to earth in the person of Jesus. That's what we celebrate at Christmas, of course. And he's performing miracles. He's teaching all this amazing stuff. What are his followers doing? His closest friends? They're arguing between them about who is the greatest. They're arguing about who deserves the seat of honor when they get to heaven. They have become totally distracted from the truth of Jesus' teaching and the reality of who he is as he stands right there before them. And then there's the Easter story. The story that we're celebrating today when Jesus sacrificed himself so that we could be forgiven of our sins and 3 days later rose again from the grave, having defeated death and opened up a way to new life. It is a story of good versus evil, light versus darkness, God versus the enemy, of the one who wants to free us from our bondage of sin and wrongdoing versus the one who wants to lead us into death and away from God. And even in that story, there's attempts to distract us from the truth. The guards run off to tell the chief priests everything that had happened, about the angel, about the stone being rolled away, the empty tomb, the appearance of Jesus to the women who went to visit the grave. And they're told by the chief priests to lie. They're told to say that Jesus' followers stole his body. That's what we heard in the reading, right? They're told to distract the people from the truth that Jesus is alive. Because that's what the enemy does. That's what the enemy does. It's one of his greatest weapons. He wants to distract us from the truth of the message of Easter, the truth of the resurrection, the truth of the empty tomb, this message of hope and new life that is ours through Jesus Christ. You know, I think this was hell's biggest PR nightmare, that Jesus rose from the dead. Because it stripped it of all its power and it crushed the enemy and his lies. But you know, that enemy hasn't stopped trying to fight the goodness of God. Even today, evil and darkness are fighting against goodness and light. As Christians, we believe that this is the work of the enemy in the world. He creates division among us. He creates division over trivial things and he works to distract us from the truth. Especially the truth of Jesus' victory over him. Maybe that's why we're seeing more and more that Resurrection Sunday is being turned into a spring-themed festival. Something about any other than the truth that we come to celebrate, that the tomb is empty. Death couldn't hold him. Jesus is alive. You know, if I asked you to tell me the first thing that comes to mind when you think of Easter, I'm sure for some of you it is that Jesus died and rose again. But for many today, it could well be a whole load of distractions. Maybe the first thing that comes to mind is the Easter bunny, or chocolate eggs, or springtime, or flowers, or fluffy yellow chicks. Maybe Easter means 2 weeks off school, hooray! And that's all that Easter is about. Maybe it means actually you can have an extra drink on a Sunday night because it's a bank holiday tomorrow. That's what Easter has become for so many. Newborn chicks, Easter bunnies, lamb roast dinners, stuff in your face with chocolate eggs, which I love, by the way. I told you not all distractions are bad. I love chocolate eggs. But I just want you to know the truth today, that these distract us from the real meaning. Because Easter isn't about a lush spring meadow. Easter is about a garden of Gethsemane where Jesus kneels before the Father and prays that if it's in his will, he will do it even to the cross. Easter isn't about a bunny, but it is about a lamb, a sacrificial lamb who died to take away the sins of the world, who carried on the cross the weight of our sin and shame so that we could be reconciled, we could be made right with God our Father. Easter isn't about hollow chocolate eggs. I really do love them, but it's not about that. But Easter is about something else that's empty. It's about an empty tomb. A tomb where Jesus once lay but is no more, for he has risen alive and present by his Spirit in the world today. So if there is one thing I want you to take away from our celebration today, it's not that the minister got distracted by his own Apple Watch. It was fake, I promise. Nobody ever texts me. It's fine. What I want you to take away is an encouragement not to let the other things distract you from the truth that Jesus died on a cross to save you. That he rose again from the grave, that you may have new life in him. The Bible tells us Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins. Not just the sin of Adam and Eve, but the wrong things we do in this life. But he was raised to new life to make us all right with God. It tells us that all who choose to follow him, all who proclaim the Easter story is true, will enter into his death and his resurrection life. I am the resurrection and the life, says Jesus. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. That's why we celebrate today. That's why this day is so important for us. It really is why, as we sang earlier, it is the greatest day in history, because Jesus' resurrection gives us new life and new hope. And so my prayer for all of you today is that through all those distractions of Easter, all good and fun and enjoyable things, but distractions nonetheless, through all those things, you'll be able to hear again today the truth of this Easter message, that Jesus is alive, that he has conquered death, he has defeated sin and crushed the enemy beneath his feet. And I pray that these celebrations of Easter won't be something that we enjoy for a moment and then move on from until we see the Easter eggs appear in like January or whenever it is on the supermarket shelves next year. Because the truth is, Easter doesn't stop today. Easter doesn't end when this service finishes, or when we go back to work on Tuesday, or school in a few weeks' time, or when the chocolate eggs simply run out. If Jesus really is alive, then it changes everything for today, for tomorrow, for the next day, and for every single day after that. It means we don't just celebrate the resurrection, we live it out for ourselves. We live as people of hope in a world of fear and anxiety and uncertainty. We live as people of light in a world of darkness and confusion. We live as people of truth in a world of deception and distraction. We live as people of life in a world of brokenness and decay. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? God has triumphed over sin and death through Jesus Christ our Lord. And may that truth bring us all new hope, new life, and new faith in him, not just this Easter time, but every day of our lives. For the tomb will always be empty. The stone has been rolled away. The victory has already been won. And Jesus is alive now and forevermore. Amen. Amen.